Chapter 4. The Second Bathing Suit. The moment Fun Jungle's front gates opened that morning, hundreds of panda maniacs, unaware that Li Ping was missing, surged through and stampeded for the panda exhibit, each hoping to be the first to see her. It looked like a black-and-white tidal wave coursing through the park. In their rush, the fanatics flattened thousands of freshly planted flowers, knocked over a hot dog cart, and nearly trampled an unfortunate groundskeeper. Luckily, he was able to avoid being crushed by climbing a jacaranda tree. The new exhibit was called Panda Palace, and it was modeled after the Forbidden City in Beijing, with red walls, intricate decoration, and a curved tile roof. The pandamaniacs overwhelmed the two guards stationed there for crowd control and crammed into the viewing rooms, severely violating the official capacity and piling up 30 deep against the glass. Then they began chanting for Li Ping again. Pete Thwacker knew he couldn't let this go on all day. After a few hours without a panda, the crowd would get angry, and an angry crowd was a mob. So he reluctantly went out to the exhibit to face the pandamaniacs. I was still at the crime scene, but I watched the whole thing with Summer on her phone. The local news stations all had cameras in position and were live-streaming the event. Inside the truck, Honecker was dusting for fingerprints. I was with Summer because, frankly, watching someone dust for fingerprints was boring. No one quite knew what to make of the ransom note yet. J.J. McCracken had gone off to his office to discuss it with his lawyers. Pete couldn't even get inside Panda Palace. Instead, he had to speak to the hundreds of people crowded outside, still waiting to enter the exhibit. He stared them all down and lied to their faces. It would have been horrible PR to reveal that the panda had been stolen, and JJ probably would have killed him. So instead, he told them what would have been the truth, had Li Ping actually arrived as planned. "Hello, panda fans," he said cheerfully, doing an incredible job of acting as though nothing had gone wrong. "We at Fun Jungle are thrilled to see so many of you here today to welcome Li Ping. However, federal law mandates that for her safety, as well as the safety of all the other beloved animals here, Li Ping must remain under quarantine at our medical facility for the next 30 days. This was met with a chorus of boos, and then Pete was pelted with everything from balled-up napkins to stuffed panda toys. "It's for the health of the panda," Pete added somewhat desperately. "You don't want Li Ping to get sick, do you?" This was followed by a lot of disgruntled muttering as most of the crowd realized Pete had a point.
"Why'd you even announce that the panda was here if you weren't going to put her on display today?"
someone shouted.
"We didn't announce the panda would be here," Pete protested indignantly, even though it was partly his fault that word had leaked out.
"You all just showed up.
However, to show our appreciation for all of you, everyone here today is entitled to a free large soft drink and a commemorative Li Ping cup."
To my surprise, this appeared to quell most of the crowd. They were still upset, but most of them quickly made a beeline for the closest soda stands. "That actually worked?" I asked Summer. "What's a large soda cost your father? 5 cents? "If that," Summer said, "including the cup. But he charges $7.99 for it normally, so everyone probably thinks they just got a great deal. Daddy always says the quickest way to win over your enemies is to make them think they suckered you out of something." I was suddenly aware of a commotion around the corner of the building. One of Honecker's guards was telling someone they couldn't approach the loading dock.
"It's for the safety of the panda," he insisted. "Li Ping has had a very long trip and she needs her privacy."
"I'm not trying to approach the loading dock," the other person said. "I need to talk to Teddy Fitzroy."
I recognized the voice. Olivia Putney.
"Hey, Olivia," I called. "Hold on."
I jumped off the loading dock and ran around the corner. Summer came with me. There was a wide alley between the veterinary hospital and the administration building, the 7-story tower where all of Fun Jungle's administrators and lawyers, and J.J. McCracken, had their offices. I recognized the guard with Olivia. His name was Kevin Wilkes. He was young, and he wasn't exactly the sharpest member of the force. In fact, there were probably several animals at the park that were smarter than Kevin.
He stood directly in Olivia's path, legs and arms splayed, to keep her from getting past him. If I hadn't heard Olivia first, I might not have recognized her. I saw Olivia in her swimsuit so often, she looked strange in regular clothes. I'd also never seen her with dry hair. It was lighter than I'd realized, and it was frizzed out from the humidity. She was carrying a plastic gift bag from Fun Jungle Emporium.
"What's going on?" Summer asked.
Kevin seemed starstruck by Summer.
This woman claims she knows Teddy.
She knows both of us, Summer told him.
Oh,
Kevin said, looking embarrassed.
Sorry, but Chief Honecker told me to keep all unauthorized personnel away from the loading dock.
I wasn't trying to cause any trouble, Olivia said, then looked to me. I needed to talk to you about the dolphins, and I heard you were over here.
How's Li Ping, anyway?
She tried to make this last question sound casual, like it had only occurred to her at that moment, but she didn't quite pull it off, which made me suspect that Olivia was using the dolphins as an excuse to find out what was going on with Li Ping. After all, if she had really needed to talk to me, she could have called me. I also noticed that Olivia wasn't the only curious Fun Jungle employee around. Despite Honecker's attempts to keep the panda's disappearance under wraps, it appeared people were beginning to suspect that something was wrong. By now it must have been clear to all the employees at the hospital that neither Li Ping nor Doc was anywhere to be seen. Behind Olivia, at the far corner of the administration building, a small crowd of employees milled about, trying to act casual, but obviously intrigued by what was going on. It was an odd assortment of people. A few keepers, some members of the janitorial staff, two lawyers. They were the only people at Fun Jungle who wore suits besides Pete. And three actors dressed as mascots, or at least partially dressed as mascots. The ones who played Eleanor Elephant and Zelda Zebra had popped their heads off. Meanwhile, the actor dressed as Li Ping remained fully suited up, probably to avoid damaging the brand new costume. They were all paying close attention to us, as though hoping for news about the real panda. I wasn't going to be the one to spill the beans about what had happened, though. A glance from Summer indicated she wasn't going to either. Instead, both of us played dumb.
Li Ping's fine, we both said at once.
Really? Olivia asked. Then why is there so much security around?
They're just here to keep everyone away from the panda, Summer said quickly. Pandas aren't like dolphins. They get sick really easily around people.
Olivia seemed unsure whether or not to believe that, but before she could pose any more questions, I asked her, "What'd you need to talk to me about?" Olivia seemed to realize she couldn't press the panda issue anymore.
We got your bathing suit back.
She dug my wet suit out of the plastic bag. Sorry, but it's a little chewed up. It took me a while to get Snickers to give it up. A little chewed up was an understatement. Thanks to Snickers, my suit now had more holes than a golf course.
Thanks, I said. That was your big emergency?
Summer asked skeptically.
You could have just texted Teddy about that.
There's also this. Olivia pulled a second wet bathing suit out of the plastic bag. This one was blue. She dangled it from a finger as though she really didn't want to touch it.
Is it yours, Teddy?
I shook my head. Nope. Olivia gave me a suspicious stare.
You barely even looked at it.
I only have one other bathing suit, I told her, and it's green. I took the blue suit off her finger and examined it. It was a souvenir from Fun Jungle. Board shorts with a piece of one leg purposefully missing, cut so that it looked as if it had been bitten off by a shark. On the rear end, written in letters designed to look like dripping blood, it said, "I survived shark encounter at Fun Jungle." I'd seen similar suits on sale at the Shark Encounter gift shop, which had always seemed to be very poor taste. After all, Shark Encounter was supposed to be teaching tourists that sharks actually weren't very dangerous, while this bathing suit reinforced the stereotype that they were. Plus, I had barely survived shark encounter once, when the underwater viewing tunnel had collapsed, so the idea of a shark attack didn't seem very funny to me.
Yuck, Summer said under her breath. Who would wear something like that?
Hey, Kevin exclaimed. I have that exact same bathing suit.
Why?
Summer asked, not bothering to hide her disgust.
It's pretty sick, Kevin said proudly, failing to realize Summer wasn't impressed.
And, as a Fun Jungle employee, I get a 10% discount on all merchandise.
I held the bathing suit up against my own waist to check the size. It was way too big for me. I think this is an adult's bathing suit, not a kid's, I pointed out.
Summer, who knew a lot more about clothes than I did, simply checked the tag on the inside of the elastic waistband.
Men's medium, she read. What size pants do you wear, Teddy?
I don't know, I said. Summer looked at me like I'd said I didn't know my own hair color.
How could you not know your pant size?
I shrugged. My mom buys all my clothes for me.
Summer rolled her eyes and returned her attention to Olivia.
Teddy's obviously too small to wear these. If you just checked the tag, you wouldn't have had to come all the way over here.
I didn't think of it, Olivia said. One of the other trainers found them in the dolphin tank, and we didn't know who else's they could be.
She looked to me. You're the only one who snickers his pants, and the only kid who's normally here after park hours, so...
You jumped to a conclusion? Summer finished.
Yes, Olivia admitted. Sorry, Teddy.
It's okay, I told her. Where in the tank was this?
Down at the bottom, Olivia replied, on the far side from the beach. There's some pipes there to recirculate the water, and the bathing suit was jammed under one. Sometimes the dolphins like to hide things there.
The dolphins hide things? Kevin asked, surprised. How? They don't even have hands.
They use their mouths, Olivia said slowly, as though she was talking to a child. And yes, sometimes if they find something unusual, they'll try to hide it where we might not notice it.
Does that happen a lot? Summer asked.
Well, we try to control what goes into the tank, Olivia replied, although we do give them lots of toys to play with to keep them stimulated, plastic rings and balls and such. And sometimes we'll put food inside something to see if they can figure out how to get it out, like a plastic box with a latch. Or we'll freeze it in ice.
The same thing Mom does with the primates, I pointed out.
Yes, Olivia said. Both species are very smart and need lots of stimulation.
Wow, Kevin gasped. I didn't know there were fish as smart as monkeys.
Olivia glared at him.
Dolphins aren't fish. They're mammals. And they're smarter than monkeys, or even some apes. They have complex communication, use tools, and work as teams. For all we know, they're smarter than we are.
Kevin laughed disdainfully.
Yeah, right. If they're so smart, then why don't they invent things like airplanes and television?
They also don't kill each other, Olivia pointed out, so they've got that on us.
I'm just saying, we put them in shows, Kevin pressed. If they were the smart ones, we'd be balancing balls on our noses for them, right?
Can you pinpoint a fish 200 yards away in the darkness using only sound waves? Olivia asked.
No, Kevin said.
Well, the dolphin can, Olivia replied curtly. We each have our talents.
Kevin started to protest, but Olivia held up a hand to silence him.
I'm not going to discuss intelligence with someone who can't even remember to zip his fly, she said.
Kevin glanced down and realized that his fly was, in fact, unzipped. Plus, his shirt was poking out through it. He turned bright red and quickly spun around to fix things.
Oops!
While he was distracted, we all slipped away from him so we could finish our conversation in peace. We headed away from the loading dock toward the front of the hospital.
What were we talking about before that doofus interrupted? Olivia asked.
The dolphins finding things in the tank, Summer told her.
Right, Olivia agreed. We give them things to stimulate them and try to keep other stuff out, but every once in a while something gets in. Some idiot tourist throws in a toy from the gift shop or drops a soda bottle over the rail, or maybe a bird feather or a plastic bag blows in. Well, if a dolphin gets a hold of something like that and wants to keep it, they'll hide it someplace.
How good is this hiding place? I asked.
Could the bathing suit have been in the tank for a few days?
Olivia stopped walking to think about this.
Maybe. We do our best to check the tank every night to make sure the dolphins haven't gotten a hold of something dangerous. We don't want them choking on garbage or anything. But they're clever. This suit was wedged under the pipe, so it was almost impossible to see. So I suppose it could have been in the tank more than a day.
then whoever it belongs to could have been in the tank well before last night, Summers said.
Well, not much more before last night, Olivia countered. Only a few days, max. I'm sure the suit hasn't been down there longer than that. Someone would have noticed it.
We were now quite close to the group of Fun Jungle employees who'd been milling around. I realized they were all eavesdropping on our conversation. They were trying to act inconspicuous, but that was hard to do when three of them were dressed like an elephant, a zebra, and a giant panda. I was about to suggest we find a more private place to talk when Olivia asked me,
Teddy, did you ever ask Honecker to check the camera feeds from the dolphin exhibit?
No, I admitted. Given all the excitement with Li Ping's disappearance, I'd forgotten. And now Honecker was certainly too busy to check the feeds, although I couldn't tell Olivia why. So I had to bend the truth.
I didn't get a chance. He's been really swamped this morning, with all the crowds and everything.
Olivia seemed to suspect that I wasn't giving her the full story, but before she could press the point, Summer wrinkled her nose and said,
That bathing suit smells funny.
I held it up to examine it again.
I don't smell anything. Well, your nose probably isn't as good as mine. Trust me, something's funky about it.
Summer took the suit from me and sniffed it closer. Then, seeming to sense something, she shifted it around to sniff different parts of it. I started laughing.
What's so funny? Summer demanded.
You look like a bloodhound, I said. Summer stuck her tongue out at me, then went right back to smelling the suit. She took another few sniffs, then gave a triumphant shout.
Aha!
She inverted one of the pockets and a chunk of something grayish and flaky fell out onto the ground at our feet.
Is that tuna fish? I asked.
Definitely, Summer replied. It totally smells like tuna. The Fun Jungle employees nearby were no longer even trying to pretend that they weren't eavesdropping on us. They all craned forward, wondering what was going on.
Why would somebody put tuna fish in the pockets of their bathing suit? I asked.
For a snack while swimming? Suggested the woman, half-dressed as Zelda Zebra.
Before anyone could suggest a better answer, a helicopter roared overhead, catching us all by surprise. J.J. McCracken had made sure airspace over Fun Jungle was severely restricted. Both the guests and the animals could find the sound of aircraft irritating. In addition, this helicopter came in extremely low, close enough to the ground that I could have hit it with a rock. It then banked sharply and started lowering behind the animal hospital. There was a helipad back there, in case a severe emergency required a human or an animal to be airlifted out, but as far as I knew, it had never been used. Summer instantly darted that way, eager to see what was going on. I dropped in behind her, so did Olivia. We raced back to the area behind the hospital. Kevin had abandoned his post to watch the helicopter as well. He was standing with Honecker, Marge, and my parents, a safe distance from the helipad, where they wouldn't be hit by debris kicked up by the rotors. Honecker appeared more annoyed than I'd ever seen him, and that was really saying something. He was annoyed a lot. Summer had to shout to be heard over the incoming copter.
Who's that?
The FBI,
Kevin shouted back.
The FBI? I repeated incredulous. Why?
Kevin started to answer me, but Honecker gave him a look that said he'd be better off keeping his mouth shut. It was almost impossible to talk over the helicopter anyhow. The noise was ear-splitting as it touched down. Before the rotors had stopped spinning, the chopper's passenger door opened and a tall woman in a suit and sunglasses hopped out. Three other people got out behind her, but I barely noticed them because the tall woman was so striking. She had red hair so bright it almost looked like her head was on fire. And though her eyes were hidden behind dark sunglasses, she was extremely beautiful. Although there was also something strangely familiar about her, too.
Oh, no, Marge groaned.
The red-haired woman strode directly up to Honecker and flashed her official badge.
Agent Molly O'Malley, FBI. I'm here to take over the investigation into the disappearance of Li Ping.
Agent O'Malley?
Summer echoed next to me, as surprised by the name as I was. Both of us turned to see Marge shrinking away in embarrassment. Agent O'Malley noticed her as well. She looked to Marge and flashed a cocky smile.
Hey, little sister, she said.